Tonight, I want you to take your Bible, and if you can find Ephesians 6, I'd love for you to do that. And then two books later is the book of Colossians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. So if you can find Ephesians 6, then go forward two books to Colossians chapter 3, and I want to read a couple verses together. Look at Ephesians 6, verse number 4. Ephesians 6, and verse number 4, I'll give you a second to get there. I really enjoyed all these baby dedications tonight, seeing all these wonderful, beautiful babies, and it's a thrill for me to have my grandson as part of that tonight. And I know, by the way, if you're here tonight, and maybe you're an extended family member of one of the babies that were being dedicated, would you just kind of lift your hand up right now if you're extended family? All right, great. Let's give them a hand. That's awesome. Good. So you guys know how I feel, right? Wade and Rose, of course, know. But you, the pride that you feel, you know, it's exciting. It really is. And so tonight, let's read Ephesians 6, 4. It says, "And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." If you'll keep your finger or bookmark there, flip over to Colossians 3. And very similar text, but it words it a little differently. Look at Colossians 3. You know, what does it mean to provoke our children to anger? Well, to me, Colossians 3:21 explains how we as parents can provoke them to anger. Look at Colossians 3:21. "Fathers, provoke not your children to anger," and then look at the next phrase, "lest they be," what? "Discouraged." To me, the way that we provoke our children to anger is when we discourage our children. That word discouraged carries the idea of spiritless, disheartened, taking the air out of somebody, you know. And sometimes when kids get discouraged, it will manifest itself in the form of rebellion. And that can take on a lot of different forms. Some kids, when they rebel, they go into depression. You know, they're kind of going to their bedroom and they kind of withdraw from the family. Why? Because they're discouraged. Other kids, when they get discouraged, they get really, really just maybe outwardly mouthy, and just everything is an issue, and they just are always, you know, upset over something. Other kids, maybe that discouragement comes out in the form of always getting in trouble at school and fighting, or maybe bad grades. Of course, worst case scenario, and it happens unfortunately, is that you see young people take their own life, suicide. And why? They're discouraged. They are discouraged. I'm not saying that's always the parents' fault necessarily. I'm just saying that it happens. You know, kids get discouraged. And so the Bible warns parents. He said, "Don't provoke them to anger lest they be discouraged." So what I want to give you tonight is a combination of scripture and hopefully just some good practical things tonight that will help us as parents, as grandparents. Because how many of you guys have discovered that grandparents have the ability to encourage or discourage their grandchildren, huh? Have you found that to be true? And so tonight, it applies to you too. Uncles, aunts, those of you who kind of adopted kids here at the church, you know, as grandchildren, this applies to all of us. So how can we encourage our kids? The first thing I want to do is go to Ephesians 6 again. Keep your bookmarker in Colossians. We'll go back right to Colossians. And Rob, I don't know if you have your iPad. Could you bring me up a little bit? I'm struggling a little tonight. My voice, I think it's allergies. Ephesians 6 and John, thanks. Just bring me up a little in the A's, all right? Ephesians 6, look at verse 4. It says, "And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath." But now look at this. "Bring them up." Say that with me. Bring them up. Then it says, "In the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Now, let's talk about that a minute. Bring them up means to rear to maturity. The word nurture means tutorage. The word admonition means attention to. Attention to. All three of those words or phrases, bring them up, nurture, and admonition, all three of those words infer the same principle. And that is that kids need time and attention. They need quality time and they need quantity time. In other words, a 1 or 2 week vacation doesn't make up for neglecting them the rest of the year. They need quality and quantity time. The Bible teaches that when children are left to themselves, they bring shame to their parents. And by the way, when we aren't taking up the time that we need to with our kids, and then things begin to unravel, I don't think it's fair to blame the church or the youth group or the school. Amen? That's not fair. Many parents want to play the blame game. And I always felt like that if my kids were having issues, that there was nowhere to look but the mirror. That's the way I felt. I felt like I should be the primary influence in my child's life, my wife and I. And I felt like we should be the primary influence. So if my kids are not doing right and there are issues, I am not for 1 minute going to blame Pastor Rob and that youth group. I am not going to blame their peers. I am not going to blame their school. I'm not going to blame the church. I've got to look in the mirror. And I want to encourage you, dads. Dads, it is not enough, and it's in us. We want to provide for our family. I get that. But I'm telling you, it is not enough that you provide a nice home, a car when they turn 16, toys for your children. That, it's not enough. They need you. And when you neglect your children, you discourage them. You discourage them. David neglected his son Absalom, and Absalom was a huge heartbreak to his father. Huge heartbreak. One time I heard a story of a guy, he was an evangelist, and he went around preaching to teenagers everywhere. And the youth evangelist was always traveling, always preaching, you know, to kids. Very famous. And the youth evangelist overheard his son one day asking the neighborhood kid to play catch with him. He wanted to play catch. And the kid said to the evangelist's son, oh, well, he said, me and my dad are going to play. And the evangelist's son said, my dad never has any time to play catch with me. He's always playing with somebody else's children. He's always playing with somebody else's children. You cannot be so busy that you don't have time to talk and listen and laugh and play and be there for your kids. And I will just say this, and I raised up 3 boys, and I will say this to you. It is more important to play catch with them than to watch them play. Get out there with them, you know, and get right in there with them. Kids absolutely love that. And so it's very important. So if we're not going to discourage our kids and we're going to encourage them, we got to give them time and attention. Those of you who have been around the block a few times and you were a parent, and certainly we all kind of wish we could go back and do certain things differently. But those of you who are older and wiser, would you agree with me? Kids need time and attention. Amen? They need time and attention. You leave them to themselves. Leave them to the TV, or leave them to the other kids. Leave them to someone else raising them up. It's usually not a good end. It's not a good result. They need you. You're their parent. No one's going to love them like you love them. And they need time and they need attention. The second thing I see in the Bible is that if we're going to encourage our kids and not discourage them, they need a consistent example from their parents. I didn't say perfect example, but just a consistent example. They need consistency. I want you to go over to Colossians again. We're going to flip back and forth from Ephesians to Colossians. But I want you parents especially to turn there and see this. Colossians 3, and look at verse 17. All right, look at that. Remember verse 21, what did verse 21 say? Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Well, notice right before that in verse 17 what he says. He says, whatsoever you do in word or deed. By the way, what does word or deed mean? It means what you say and what you do. So he says, whatever you say, whatever you do, look at the rest of the verse. Do, and what's the next word? All. Do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Too many Christian parents have a Sunday faith. And I'm not saying that that happens here at Crossroads. I'm just saying that it happens. Parents have a Sunday faith. What I mean by that is this. The image that you project to your child on Sunday is not what's going to impact their life. The image that you project to your child on Sunday is not what's going to impact their life. And that's true of me. As a pastor, I know my sons would say it wasn't what Dad did on Sunday that really impacted our life. I know you guys would say that, right? It wasn't what I did on. It wasn't that they were wowed because I preached and because I was a pastor. That didn't wow my kids, all right? Not one bit. Still doesn't. Come to our house. They're not one bit impressed with that. I think what impacted my kids was the fact that, and I'm not trying to pat myself on the back because surely I am not a perfect dad at all, but I did make it a very high priority to try to be the same person at home as I was at church. And that's one of the things that I've heard my kids say through the years to people. In fact, someone just told me that one of my boys told them that recently, and they told me what my son said. And my son said to them, one of my boys said to them, yeah, because they were saying something kind about me, and my son said, yeah, well, what you see is what you get, because he's the same way at home as he is at church. And I got to tell you something, that made me feel good to hear that. Because that's how Denise and I have wanted to live our life. We want to be the same. We want it to always be real, you know. And, you know, it's blessed me, Kendall, your card. Kendall gave me a card this week for my birthday and kind of alluded to that. Same thing. Is you're real. You're who you are. You're not one person at church and then another person here at the house. And parents, it's how you live on Monday and throughout the week. That's what's going to impact your kids. They're watching you. Guaranteed, they are watching you. So do they see you living in a biblical way? Whatever you do in word or deed, whatever you do, whatever you're doing and saying, he said, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. And if there's one thing that children will pick up on quickly, it's inconsistency. And as they get older, they'll even learn other names for that. Like the word, starts with an H, hypocrite. And I've heard parents say, I've heard kids say, yeah, my dad was a preacher, but he was a hypocrite. My mom and dad went to church every Sunday, but they were nothing but hypocrites. Nothing will damage your child's concept of God, church, and Christianity as much as a life of hypocrisy. If you tell your child to live a certain way and they see you doing the opposite, you might as well save your breath. Amen. Maybe you can get away with it when they're small. You can tell them to do one thing and do the opposite. Maybe you can get away with that when they're small. Doesn't work so good when they get to be teenagers because they get mouthy. And it can discourage them greatly. So if you, as a parent, if it comes out of your mouth, they better see you living it. And parents, you'll never be perfect. So I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that you have to live a perfect life. You're going to mess up. But your child needs to see a consistent example. They need to see a daily walk with Christ. When you mess up, admit it. When you mess up, say, I messed up. You know, have I ever had to say, Clint, that I messed up as a dad? Oh, yeah. Probably this week, right? You're going to mess up, but you just admit it. And they see in you a sincere love for Jesus Christ. They just see you're real. You're real. Very important. If we're going to encourage our children and not discourage them, they need time and attention. They need a consistent example. And number three, what I see in the Bible here is that they need unconditional love and acceptance. Parents, never give your child the impression that your love for them can be affected by their actions. Never threaten to withhold your love in order to get them to behave. In other words, you'd never say anything like, well, you know, Daddy won't like you if you do that. One way that parents show unconditional love is by never showing favoritism towards one child over another. And unfortunately, we've seen this a lot through the years where for some odd reason, I don't get it and it doesn't compute with me at all because I have never had an issue or a problem loving all my kids the same. I just never have. It's never even entered my mind to have a favorite. It's never even crossed my mind. I don't get that, but I know it's real and I know it's a temptation for some people. Isaac and Jacob, right? I mean, we know that Isaac and Jacob made that mistake of picking favorites. And we know that it cost them dearly in their parenting. You never show favoritism to one child over another. And I'm not saying that you necessarily deal with them exactly the same. That's not what I'm saying. Because, like, for example, there were certain things that we would punish Clint with that if we tried that with Caleb, it wouldn't work. You know? And there are certain things that we may use as a punishment for Clayton that it didn't work for Clint. So I'm not necessarily saying that all things like that are always going to be identical. What I'm saying is, though, is that you love all your kids unconditionally with equal love. It is so damaging to your child. Never compare your children. That's a no-no. Don't ever do that. That's very damaging to your child. Why can't you make A's like your sister? No, we don't do that. We don't compare like that. God's love for us is unconditional. Amen, church? God doesn't have favorites. Did you know I'm a pastor, but did you know God doesn't love me any more than he loves you? God doesn't have favorites in his family. And your children need to know that you have an unconditional love for them, an unconditional acceptance for them. Love is the bond of maturity. Look at verse 14, Colossians 3:14. Look what that verse says. It says, and above all these things, put on charity, love, which is the bond of perfectness. Perfectness means maturity. So your kids need to know that no matter what they do, no matter what they do, you're going to love them through it. You know? And there's times when it's hard because your kids mess up, your kids disappoint you, your kids do things that you wish they'd never do. But when you let them know that you have an unconditional love for them and that you're going to love them through this, we're going to love you through this thing, there's no way to tell you what that does for your kids. There's no way to even describe it. Now, there's a flip side to that. Your kids need time and attention. They need a consistent example, and they need unconditional love. There is a flip side to that coin, and that is kids need correction and training. You know, we love them unconditionally, but that doesn't mean that we become a permissive parent and that we allow our children to rule the roost and run the home. Isn't it amazing how many two-year-olds run the house? It's amazing to me. It really is. Go back to Ephesians real quick. I'm going to show you something. Flip back there, Ephesians 6:1. It says, children, you guys know this verse. Children, what are children to do? Obey your parents in the Lord. Why? For this is right. God gave kids parents for a reason. Can I hear an amen, huh? It's for their own good and their own safety. Look at verse 2. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long on the earth. I'm going to let you guys in on a profound truth that I found out in raising three boys. Here it is. You ready? Kids have to be taught to obey. You know what I found out as a young parent? It didn't come natural for them to obey. Clint, you should be saying amen down there, Betty. You're finding that out now, aren't you? Your children will very naturally be self-willed and want their own way. And parents, it's up to you to teach them the blessings of obedience. Ephesians 6:4, look at that with me. It says, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up. Bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. That word nurture carries the idea of training. Bring them up in the nurture, the training. The word admonition carries the idea of rebuke or warning. So the opposite of a permissive parent would be a parent in love that gives correction and training to their children. They're training them to be a godly person. Not just a good person, but a godly person. So what does that mean? That means that you establish, it's really simple, okay? You establish boundaries of behavior. Then you teach the child to stay within those boundaries and obey. If they don't obey, guess what? There has to be consequences. And if the consequences... If the consequences are not such that the pain of the consequence, and I'm not just talking about spanking or anything like that, but for different kids it's different things, right? But if the pain of the consequence isn't stronger than the fun they're having disobeying, then they're going to keep disobeying. Right? So that's the whole idea. And if you don't establish boundaries of behavior and then make them stay in the boundaries, then we produce self-willed children, angry children, discouraged children. The devil makes us believe that discipline is going to make our children angry. But you know what I found out through the years? It's permissiveness that creates angry children. Because deep down, kids want boundaries. They want boundaries. They want their parents to show love that way. Correction and training. The last thing is this. If we want to keep from discouraging our children, the fifth thing that's important is we have to offer to our children. Now, this is a biggie. Total forgiveness. If you go to Colossians chapter number 3, I want to show you one more verse. Forgiveness is at the heart of living like a Christian. Colossians 3:13, look at it with me. It says, forbearing one another and, say it with me, what does it say? Forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Forgiveness is at the heart of living like a believer. Forgiveness is the God-ordained means by which we're given the gift of a right relationship with God, correct? How many of y'all are saved and you got a right relationship with God? Say amen, huh? You know why you got it? Because of forgiveness, amen? If it wasn't for forgiveness, you couldn't have a right relationship with God. Forgiveness is also the God-ordained means by which we maintain right relationships within our families. Now follow me. Forgiveness is the way. Forgiveness is the God-ordained means by which I am given the gift of a right relationship with God. Forgiveness is the God-ordained means by which we maintain right relationships within our families and church family. So children need discipline, training, correction. But then they have to know that their parents forgive them. And our homes should be places where forgiveness is granted willingly and eagerly, and it should never be withheld. And then, by the way, once we forgive our kids, the offense should never be brought up again unless they bring it up. And it's kind of funny now that my kids are pretty much grown, they will bring up their offenses at the table from childhood. And we kind of laugh now about it. They're bringing it up, not me. All right. So, but you as a parent aren't going to bring it up again. Why? It's forgiven. And a lack of forgiveness is going to, the Bible says it's going to provoke your children to anger. It's going to discourage them. It's going to discourage them. I read this. I thought it was good. There was a dad that had raised his kids up, and he was kind of reflecting and looking back, and this dad said this. He said, my family is all grown. The kids are gone. But if I had it to do all over again, this is what I'd do. I would love my wife more in front of my children. I would laugh more with my kids at our mistakes and joys. I would listen more, even to the littlest child. I would be more honest about my own weaknesses and stop pretending perfection. I would do more things together with my children. I would do more encouraging, and I would bestow more praise. I would share God more intimately with my family. Every ordinary thing that happened in every ordinary day, I would use it to direct them to God. Isn't it exciting for these young families that we saw up here tonight? They don't have to look back with regrets. They can do something about it right now. Amen. And so that's a good thing. That's a good thing. The Bible says, provoke not your children to wrath. But then it says, children, obey your parents, right? So children, obey your parents. Hey, dads, don't provoke them to wrath. So there's a balance between those two. And may God give us the grace to truly love our children, to love them in a biblical way. And by the way, and I know Pastor Clint has really hit on this, and he would echo this, The greatest blessing you can ever give your child is to tell them about the gospel of Jesus Christ and lead them to Jesus Christ. It's the greatest blessing you could ever have. Y'all got it? Piece of cake, right? Piece of cake. Hey, you know what? You're never going to have all those things down. But you know what? You can work towards it. And you can say, you know what? I don't want to discourage my kids, and I want to give them time. I want to give them a consistent example to the best of my ability. I want to give them unconditional love. I don't want to be comparing them with their siblings or comparing them with other kids at the church. I just want to love them unconditionally. I want to give them correction and training. I want to teach them the blessings of obedience. But then when they do fail, I want to make sure they know they have my total forgiveness. Let's go to the Lord in prayer right now.